Look at all those children. Well, on July 5th, I said goodbye to you guys for 6 weeks, and you said goodbye to me because you had released me for 6 weeks to go and do ministry at the Calvary Temple Camp in, well, we'd like to say Winnipeg, but it's not really Winnipeg. It's more Ontario than it is Manitoba, because it's about an hour and a half northeast of the city going towards Dryden. So you're about 40 minutes from Dryden, and it's very much Ontario. So when you look at the pictures, and so many people said to me, I didn't think that's what Manitoba looked like. I'm like, that's true. That's not what most of Manitoba looks like. Because as soon as you get into Winnipeg, you start getting into the prairies, and things get very, very flat. But you had released me for some personal reflection time and some ministry. And part of my role as being the camp pastor, there was, I want to say, formal activities, which was preparing chapel and doing devotions. And then the informal part was personal reflection time and just general interacting with the campers. And it's very interesting because it was during those informal interactions and personal time with the Lord that I would say I grew the most. Gloria Gaither would say it is in the interruptions in our lives that God shows up, which is very true. It is in the unplanned times, in the informal times, that God just shows up and starts speaking to us. Now, prior to going to camp, I have a goal every year. I read however many books is my age, so it just keeps increasing every year. And so I'm reading a certain number of books, and I'm in the middle right now of that number. And so one of the books that I started reading was Chicken Soup for the Soul's 101 Stories about Billy Graham, people who interacted with Billy Graham for the purpose, actually, of our previous sermon series, which was on Daniel. I thought, who would be like a modern-day Daniel, someone who actually stood up for the faith and was found to have integrity? And what was really interesting is as I both listened and read, because I have it on audiobook and Kindle, when Billy Graham was asked, what would you do differently? Or how would you encourage people? He said, I would pray more and I would study more. And I'm thinking, if Billy Graham is saying he would pray more and study more, then I need to pray more and study more. Like, I was so challenged. So at that point, I decided I'm going to commit to praying for every service. So there's two services a day, 71 chapel moments. And so I committed to praying a half hour every day for every chapel, asking the Lord to come and to move and to give me wisdom and discernment. Because in my mind, Bob, do we have a PowerPoint? Just checking. In my mind, everything that I had ever heard, so yes, this is Lessons from the Rock. We're going to look at Philippians 2, 5 to 11. Next. Next. There we go. Great book, by the way. Extremely challenging. Extremely challenging. Next. So every great revival started with prayer, and every healthy church started with prayer. Everyone. When you read about healthy churches and revivals, they all started with two or three people gathering together, or a small group gathering together for prayer, for the purpose of seeking God and listening to His Spirit. And so I knew that if I wanted to see God move, then I needed to pray. And it's not that it's all about me, but it really is about joining hands with God and listening for what it is that He has for us to do. And I wanted that. I wanted God to move in a powerful way this summer. And so, as I committed to praying, basically an hour a day, but in 2 half-hour slots, I asked the Lord, would you teach me how to pray? And those of you who have known me, you know, like, Jen, you pray a lot. I'm like, but I don't really know. I want to know more. I want to know more how to pray. I want to know how to pray in certain situations. And really, like, if Jesus' disciples came and asked Jesus, teach us how to pray, then I feel like I can go and ask Jesus, teach me how to pray. And so I said, Lord, teach me how to pray. What do I pray about? Who do I pray for? And I found myself praying out the memory verses that I was asking the kids to learn. Every week we learn the same six memory verses because they're different kids. So it's great. And so I found myself praying these memory verses. I'm put them up on the screen. First one is Philippians 2:11a. It was our main memory verse, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. The second one was from Monday. It was Psalm 23:1. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. Tuesday's verse, because we looked at the light of the world, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Wednesday's verse, we looked at the way, the truth, and the life, and that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one would come to the Father except through me or but by me. And the kids would always be like, Pastor Jen, it says but by me. I'm like, I will accept through me or by me, as long as you get it, that Jesus is the only way. Thursday's verse was Philippians 4:19. My God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. And then on Friday was our longest verse, John 15:5, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And as I prayed through each of these verses, I found myself saying to the Lord, really? All? Never? Much fruit? What does this look like? What does it mean that you truly will meet all of my needs? What kind of needs are we talking about? What does it mean that in every tongue confess that Jesus, what does that mean, every? Because I noticed in each of these verses, there's these all-inclusive words. All. Never. No one. Those who follow me will never walk in darkness. Well, what does that mean? Does that mean bad things will never happen? Is that what it means? And so I found God stirring up inside of me his truth as I prayed out these verses and asked him what they meant. And then what was really cool then is then I could go before the kids and talk to them with a deep assurance of knowing what those verses meant. Because it's really hard to preach something if you don't believe it. It's really hard to teach your kids about something if you yourself haven't experienced it. And so I wanted that from the Lord. I'm like, Lord, I want to know what this means. I want to know that, you know, if a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. And apart from me, you can do nothing. I want to know what that means so I can teach about it. So it became a very powerful part of my prayer time. But I also found that I was praying for every camper and staff by name. By name. And so it was really interesting because as I would go down the list on my sheet, I would see how many memory verses they had or had not learned. And I would start praying for them. Because if they hadn't said any, I was like, Lord, is that just because I haven't seen them face to face? Or is there fear there? Is there an insecurity there? Because sometimes kids just would avoid Pastor Jen because she was going to ask them about memory verses. But sometimes it was just that they were afraid because they didn't think they knew them. And so I found myself praying for those kids and opportunities to interact with those kids. And so many times I'd sit down at a table and one kid would start saying a memory verse. And then I'd turn to the kid who I noticed hadn't said any yet. And I said, do you want to give it a try? And he'd say, I don't know it. I said, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And they would say, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I'm like, there you go. Check. Let's try number two. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not. And check. I was like, well done, so you got two for six. And then for so many kids, they would just, you know, practice them more because they already had some success. And I want to say five out of 6 weeks, all of the kids said their memory verses. And I was like, thank you, God. Because I believe that if we hide God's word in our hearts, that he will use that as seeds to draw us closer to him. So as I kept praying for each camper and staff, that the staff would grow in their faith, that they would have courage and boldness, but also that the campers, every single camper would come to know Jesus because of our main verse, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Every tongue. And I was of the mindset that Jesus wanted them to come to him because they wanted to. Because it says in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And that means when it says every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, even those who have chosen not to serve God will at one day confess that he really is Lord. but that time it will be too late. And I'm like, Lord, I don't want any too lates for the campers. I want them to hear your gospel every day. So then I ask that third question, what are my responsibilities? What are my responsibilities for these kids to hear your story so that you can move in their hearts? And so I asked the Lord for an increase of wisdom and understanding. I asked him to help me to deliver the message in a way that they would get. I also asked for favor and opportunities to speak into the kids' lives. And I also asked for a love for every camper. Because it's hard to love close to 500 campers well. Because not every kid, no offense, is lovable. See, you're laughing because you know. It's hard. Like, because the kids get off the bus and they're, interesting. Especially the one young man who brought his cowboy boots to camp. And I'm like, well, that's interesting. And then he packed them on the camp out. So he had them in the size of his bag, and then he walked 4 kilometers. And I'm like, are you going to wear your cowboy boots at Cabin Lake? He's like, oh, yeah, I'm going to wear them. And I'm like, all right. And he came back, and he was all excited. He had worn his cowboy boots at Cabin Lake. It's a rock. It's a rock and water. Like, very often they try to find a soft place to actually put the tent, but it's more one of those outside experiences that we like to give the kids. I try to avoid them. Personally. But anyways, like, so kids show up with all of this stuff, and I was like, Lord, I need you to give me a heart for these kids, to see them the way that you see them. But then I asked this last question to the Lord. I said, Lord, what might be preventing me from fulfilling my responsibilities that every kid, not just the ones I like or the ones that are easy to connect with, but every kid? What might be preventing me from doing this? And I realized that there were a couple of things. Judgment, as I've already said. Kids would get off the bus, and I'd be like, oh, there's no way. Or from previous experiences with those kids, we all have those. Like, that kid has always, right? We've said these things, that kid always does this. They never do this. And so these preconceived ideas, and this one young man, and I'm going to change names, Colton, was sitting at the back of chapel, he was an agitator. And he was agitating people. And he would drag his chair across and make that noise on the floor. And I'm like, and I finally am like, if you're going to move your chair, could you at least pick it up and move it? And so he'd pick it up and move it. And I'm like, there's no way he's going to say his memory verses. He's going to be trouble in chapel all week long. This is going to be bad news. And I was just getting really quite frustrated. And in amongst Colton's behaviors, I had been praying, Lord, this is senior boys week. We never have all the boys say their memory verses. Would you please move? And I actually sent a text out to some people saying, could you please pray? It's senior boys week. They come with a whole lot of baggage. And we don't do camp the same way in senior boys week as we do the rest of the camps, because they're just senior boys. They're just different. Anyways, so as it happened, I was praying, Lord, would you light a match in all of the camp, in all of the cabins, that one kid would want to say their memory verse, and it would be like on fire for the rest of the cabin. Well, in Colton's cabin, cabin 9, that was a tough, tough cabin for their cabin leader. And he wasn't sure if anyone wanted to say his memory verses. And he even said that. And one kid said his memory verses. And then another kid, and then another kid. And Colton was in that cabin, and he heard everybody. I said, do you want to just try it? And he's like, okay. By the end of the day, he had said all of his memory verses, and then he brought the rest of his cabin and actually physically dragged them and said, say them. And if they didn't say them, then he waited until they learned them and they said them. So by Wednesday, all of that cabin had pretty much said all of their memory verses because of Colton. And what was interesting is he moved from the kid in the back seat scraping his chair to the kid in the middle row who was raising his hand and answering questions. And occasionally I put my hat on because it was one of those hair days, and I would be preaching with my hat on, and I'd go to pray, and he'd be like, Pastor Jen, hat, take your hat off. we're praying. And I was like, taking my hat off. But it was so interesting to watch this kid who I thought was going to be the biggest problem turn into, I want to say, a fire in his cabin, inspiring his cabin mates. Another kid, his cabin leader came to me and he said, there's absolutely no way he's going to say his memory verses. And I had met him before. I'm like, you're right. He's not going to say any of his memory verses. And I'm like, okay. Went to the kitchen ladies. I'm like, could you please pray for Trevor? Just because it's not just about saying memory verses. It's what's going on in their heart to make them so anti-anything. Is there hurt? Is there some rebellion? Is there some preconceived ideas? Do they have abandonment issues? So they're like, they just don't want anyone to get near them. And so they started praying for Trevor. He came into chapel one night and he went to sit in the back pew. And I said, Trev, you can't sit there. That's for staff. And so he picked himself up and he went and sit in the chair and all like down. And I'm like, but if you say a memory verse, I'll let you sit in the back pew. And he was like cold shoulder, like, Pastor Jen, get away from me. So I'm like, dear Lord Jesus, just move in his heart. The next morning I went and I sat with that table and we started doing memory verses. We do a lot of memory verses. Anyways, so one of the kids said theirs and I said, Trevor, why don't you just try it? And he tried it. By the end of the day, he had said all of his memory verses. By Thursday, he had gone to crafts and he had painted a picture that said, Jesus is a good shepherd. And he's like, can we put it up in the chapel? And I was like, God, you are so good. Because this was a kid that didn't want anything to do with chapel. Like, when kids come in and they actually try to get as close to the door as possible so they can leave as soon as possible, they don't want to be there. And so when they come from that to totally changed, engaged, saying their verses, painting about Jesus being the good shepherd, I realized that I needed God to change my attitude, to realize that nothing was impossible with God. But was I willing to surrender these people to him? Was I willing to surrender my own? Like, I don't have to sit at tables with kids. I don't have to sit with them. I don't have to help them learn memory verses. But the Lord said, one of the things that you struggle with is laziness. And I'm like, nuts. And I realized that if I wanted kids to say their memory verses, then I was going to have to put myself out there. I was going to have to go out and be with the kids where the kids were. And so for senior boys, we gave them a goal. We said, if you say all your verses by Thursday night, we'll have a big treat for you. And the big treat, do I have a picture of this, Bob? Look at that. Maple bacon donuts. They're good. And I said to Pastor Phil, who was sitting beside me, he's the youth pastor at Calvary Temple Church. I said, really, are they worth it? He's like, oh, yeah, they're worth it. So I was like, okay. So we put it out to the boys. We're like, if the entire camp, 78 boys, if all of you say your memory verses, these are homemade bacon maple donuts. And so Thursday came and like 15 kids were leaving for the camp out, and about four of them hadn't said their verses yet, and not just the last verses, like two or three verses. So for like a half an hour I stood there and went, I'm the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in you, we will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Do you got it? Okay, let's do this. And like I probably did the actions to all of those memory verses 100 times in 20 minutes to help them learn them. And then I went into the craft room and we had kids that still hadn't memorized them. And I'm like, if I have to say, I'm the vine, you are the branches one more time, then I'm going. And the Lord just really spoke to my heart. He's like, really? Does it really matter that you say this verse one more time? Does it really matter? Like, what else are you doing? And I was so challenged. I'm like, really, this isn't about me, is it? Well, it is in a way, because the Lord was teaching me that sometimes we just want to give up because things get tough. Or we're put out a little bit. And so it's just easy to give up and say, oh, well, maybe next time. But I thought of the 72 other boys who had worked really hard at saying all of their memory verses. So it came down to the last moment. We're sitting at the table. There was a kid there. I had two kids left that still had 4 memory verses to say between the two of them. And Mike had been sick all day long, and I'm like, buddy, you have 3 verses, and it's separating us from eating these maple bacon donuts. And I said, are you going to learn them? And he's like, yep. So we sat down, and we learned the last 3 verses. And I was like, God, you're so good. Because this was a kid, too, that I really struggled with at the beginning of the week. Because they come in all macho, right? These senior boys, they come in all macho, like they know everything. I actually had one kid write on his review form that, did you learn anything new about Jesus? No, I know it all. And I'm like, you're 11. How do you know it all about Jesus? Really? I want to do that. And so those things, the Lord really spoke to my heart. Judgment, laziness, and fear. Because sometimes we don't want to talk to people because what if they find out that I'm really not all that cool? Or what if I don't have the right answers to give them? So we just actually draw back. And I found that I was falling into that. Because it can be really hard to be cool the more you're over 20. I'll just put the age way down there. But the further you get away from, you know, their age, the less cool you seem. And the maintenance guy, he's 23. And he's talking to another cabin leader across from us. He's also 23. And they're eating everything. And they're like, yeah, but when you hit 30, I hear, this is what they say, I hear everything starts going downhill. And then 40, wow, your body completely changes. And I'm like, really? Real? And they're like, not you, Pastor Jen. And I was like, thanks. But it was just very interesting that I can get preconceived ideas in my head, and as a result, that stops me from moving forward in what God has called me to. So in order for me to work through these things, the Lord actually drew me back to the main passage, which is Philippians 2:11a, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But in chapel, we sing the whole song, Philippians 2:9-11, and it says, there's the verse, therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord. Can someone tell me what the first word is in that verse? Thank you. And so whenever you see a therefore, you need to ask, why is it therefore? So that means you have to go further back in the passage. So I went back to verse 6, which says, who, that's Jesus, by the way, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. So we're going to just hang out on that passage for a bit. The question that came to my mind, because the main verse was, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, we've been in the church a long time. We understand what that means. But there's lots of people who haven't. And if you're new today, you might be asking that same question. Why is at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord? Because it says, therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is a... Why? Why? So you go back and you read this. And you realize that Jesus did something. It says he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. And the theological term for that is kenosis. It means to empty one's self of. And I camped on that phrase for a long time. Jesus did not grasp being God. Why? Because he loves us. He was willing to do whatever it took in order that we would be made right with him. So often I hear people say things like, but I deserve this. I earned it. I'm owed it. This is my right. I hear in conversations all the time, well, they're my rights. I deserve this. I've worked hard for this. Right? We say this and we hold on to them. And the thing is, when we hold on to things, there is no room to pick anything else up or to receive. So Jesus did not consider equality with God something to be grasped or to hold on to, but made himself nothing. He released it. He emptied himself of everything that he deserved. Remember, he is God. He was with God in the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. He was with God in the beginning. He's part of the Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. When we go to have communion, we're going to talk about this. He emptied himself of everything. There's a few songs that try to explain this, because it's hard to explain fully God and fully man. It really is. And yet he did it. And so Graham Kendrick said it like this: meekness and majesty, manhood and deity, in perfect harmony, the man who is God, Lord of eternity, dwells in humanity, kneels in humility, and washes our feet. God empties himself to wash our feet. Charles Wesley put it like this: he left his Father's throne above, so free, so infinite his grace, emptied himself of all but love, and bled for Adam's helpless race. 'Tis mercy all immense and free, for, oh my God, it found out me. A more familiar chorus puts it like this: light of the world, you stepped down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see beauty that made this heart adore you, all for love's sake became poor. He emptied himself of all but love, meekness and majesty, manhood and deity. This fully God, fully man came as a servant. He did not come as a king. He did not come as a general. He did not come as a wealthy landowner. He came as a baby to an unwed mom whose fiancé was a carpenter, which was pretty close to being a shepherd in those days. It was bad news. He did not come and toot his horn to say, look at me, I am God. He came and he served. Never once asking for anything except for deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. He never went to the leper and said, you owe me. He never went to the blind man and said, that'll be 30 shekels, please. He never went to the people at the temple and said, you should be paying me 1,000 shekels because that's what I'm worth to stand up here and speak. He never called anything to himself except people. And he served. He gave up everything that was his in order to connect people back to God. And so as I wrestled with that verse, I'm thinking, what do I grasp? What am I grasping? What am I not willing to let go of? And as a result, that is preventing me from achieving the goals that God has given us. What is it? Is it fear? Is it insecurity? Is it what I think I'm entitled to? And I realized, as God just spoke to my heart, am I willing to do what Jesus did? Love people well. Am I willing to do what it takes to love people well so that they can come to know Jesus? Because our community is full of people who don't know Jesus. And he wants every single one of them to come and know him, not just a few. I believe our mandate as a church is to preach the gospel, to welcome people, to teach them about the kingdom and to heal their diseases. But what does that mean for us? How do we show love to the people around us? What is our personal responsibility? What is your personal responsibility to making this happen? But I'm excited about that because I saw God move. I saw God move time and time again. If we are willing to surrender our rights as Jesus emptied himself, are we willing to empty ourselves so that his kingdom can come and his will would be done? Because amazing things happen when we choose to empty ourselves and surrender to God. So, Bob, can you play that video? Okay. This is Hillary. Say hi to Hillary. Isn't she cute? This is a short story about Hillary. See how big she is? She's this big. I went to put her down one day and she got to my hip. I'm like, if you commit to putting her down, you're committing to a 10-minute walk to a 30-meter away house because her legs are this big. And she sat there for a while. Because I had an agenda. I had things to do. And I held her there for quite a while. And she's probably in her little 19-month-old brain is saying, "What's happening, Pastor Jen? Why are you not putting me down?" And I had to make a decision in that moment. Am I going to empty myself of my own desires so that she can experience life as a 19-month-old baby? Am I willing? Look at that face. And I was challenged to think, how many things do I miss out on because I'm grasping on the things that I deserve rather than surrendering them to the Lord? Because I don't want to miss out on things like this. I don't want to miss out on sharing the gospel and watching. She would have stood and picked those berries for hours. We did it for about 10 minutes. We need to surrender. We need to empty ourselves. We need to empty ourselves so that God can and will accomplish great things through us. All right, now play the video. Our goal as a church is that every tongue would confess Jesus Christ is Lord in Barrie and beyond. It's a massive, massive goal. But nothing is impossible with God. Nothing. And when I look at those numbers, that's because you were praying and you released myself and Fletcher to go and minister, as well as other church and congregations that were praying. It is amazing what happens when people pray. And people release. And so as the worship team comes now and we start to prepare our hearts for communion, the prayer rails are open for you. And you might be thinking, maybe as we've been praying or speaking, maybe the Lord is touching your heart and saying, you need to let go of this. You need to trust me in this. You need to release this to me. Or maybe the Lord has laid someone on your heart and you want to pray for them. We pray. That's what we do as a family. So we invite you to come forward to the prayer rail and open your heart up to the Lord. Lord, what is it that you would have me let go of so that I can fulfill the responsibilities that you have given to me using my gifts and my talents? So the prayer rail is open.